The Lord be with you. A reading from the Good News, the Holy Gospel, according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Upon arriving, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored daughter. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." She was deeply troubled by his words and wondered what his greeting meant. The angel went on to say to her, "Do not fear, Mary. You have found favor with God. You shall conceive and bear a son, and give him the name Jesus. Great will be his dignity, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will be without end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hence, the holy offspring to be born will be called Son of God. Know that Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has conceived a son in her old age. She who was thought to be sterile is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary said, "I am the maid servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say." With this, the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord. It was bound to be from near 11 years ago when my mother died and went to meet God in all his glory that for the rest of my life, every joyful moment, every glad and glorious time will always have a kind of little shadow over it. I cannot escape it that whenever I see something more clearly, or I enjoy something more fully, or when I feel the pain of my own humanity, or I'm touched with compassion by the pain and burdens of others, there's always a part of me that says, "If only Mother were here." To have become so much in love with you and the people of this parish was inevitably to have an accompanying regret. If only you could have met my mother. How you would have loved her. How deeply you would have been touched by her goodness and her greatness. But I can tell you, I am sure that some of you would never seen her, would never have seen her fully. As her children came to see her, you would have seen her, especially in those latter days, as such a touching, beautiful, gentle lady in a wheelchair, with a happy smile and a kind word, a friendly greeting, and perhaps nothing more. And I would have wanted you to know her in the days of her hustle and bustle, her courageous comings and goings, as she faced one challenge after another, and always somehow or other stood tall in the midst of things that would bend and bow other people. If my mother were here in my days as pastor, as she used to be in an earlier ministry of mine, you all would have come to love her. But many of you, I conjecture, would have fashioned her in your model of what a lovely old lady of 80 ought to be. And it would have been very difficult for many of you to have known her in her full strength, in her boldness, in the courage which we always like to think got shared a little bit with all her children. Well, I share that thought this morning because as I prepared for this liturgy and met Mary again, Mother of Jesus, the thought that came so strongly to me was that perhaps this mother of mine also needs, if you will, a second introduction. And so in what I hope is the spirit of the liturgy, in the spirit of the scripture, I make bold to say to you, I know you love my mother Mary. I have no doubt of it. I know you have reverenced her and honored her in her virtue and her tenderness. You have been glad to acknowledge her as mother of mothers, tenderest of maidens. But I'm not sure that you and I have let ourselves see her in her fullest dimensions. For Mary is a frightening person. Mary is a confronting person. Mary is really more challenging than all the prophets who preceded her. If only we would set her free from what may be our well-intended sentimental caricatures. Let the power of Mary, mother of us all, great and glorious symbol of the whole church through the ages, let Mary stand up and be fully Mary as she is in God's plan, even if you have to yield some of your fondest and most tender images of her. During these days of Advent, we have been confronted again by some disturbing folks. Isaiah again paraded across the stage of our consciousness, telling us frail folks that we are to push down mountains and fill up valleys of human evil and greed and selfishness. But distance is so often a kind of blessing. Isaiah speaks to us out of the pages of the Old Testament. And John the Baptist comes crying that we prepare a way for the Lord at whatever price it might cost us, should it set us at odds with others who have more control, more power, more determination to preserve the old, to hang on to convention at any cost. But John, too, is in a very real sense a figure of the past. And a little hard for us to want to be just like Isaiah and John, prophets who paid the price. John, the last before Mary, literally paid the price with his head on a plate for having said what God inspired him to say, for having been what God called him to be, a sign of contradiction in the midst of a selfish, self-centered world. It's hard to want to emulate him entirely. It is not difficult, once we think about it, to understand why we have so lovingly fashioned Mary, the last and greatest by far of all the prophets who pointed the way to salvation. It's no wonder that we have fashioned her into tender, loving, sweet little maiden mother. But it is a grace of God if we can see her for the powerful, powerful, frightening figure that she is in God's scheme of things. Let's look again at a scene we have shared so often, proclaimed this very day in the words of the gospel. Let's ask ourselves, how have we pictured Mary in the past? Perhaps her eyelashes fluttering, certainly her eyes raised to heaven, her hands perhaps modestly folded over her tender breasts, ready to just say a gentle, ladylike amen to whatever God might say. In later days, we will picture her so tenderly cradling that baby in her arms, and it will set our hearts a-fluttering. But suppose we take a different look, and we hear Mary saying now to the angel, hold on there. What say you? I will be a mother? When I know and God knows I've made a commitment, a very special vow of virginity, explain that to me. You say God asks something new of me, but that something might call me to contradict my own deepest held commitments. And at that moment, through the angel, in a very real sense, God was called to bend to the will of Mary and offer an explanation. In effect, God said through the angel, good question, entitled to an answer. You will not have to contradict your deepest convictions. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the one to be born will be not mere flesh son, but Son of God Most High. And then, and only then, Mary said, amen. I have heard preachers time and time again, I've read it more places than I can remember, assure me that one of the most tender and lovable things about Mary is, as soon as she had the chance, having heard the good and amazing news about her cousin Elizabeth, off she went to be there to tend to her. I suggest to you, the angel said, you'll know it's true when you find your cousin in her sixth month of pregnancy, and Mary went to check it out. Mary went to make sure the sign was true and that it was God speaking to her, not an illusion. Very different perspective. And it was in that context that Mary challenged the ages. Having been assured now by the angel's word, but more clearly by the growing belly of her cousin, that God was really at the heart of it all. Then Mary said, my being proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And her life and all of history was then changed forever. Even there, I think, the artists have assured us down through the ages, again with a picture of this incredibly humble maiden, probably again her hands folded, her mind on things divine and celestial, saying these words, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I ask you, take another look. Let Mary spread her feet, put her hands on her hips, and say what she says in the Gospel of Luke. I, unnoticed, unknown, second-class little girl in a male-dominated and chauvinist society, I, a nobody from Nazareth, tell you, from this day on, all generations will take note of me and call me blessed. Because of my amen, my amen to Yahweh God, a door now opens on history, and God will come and pull down the mighty and the powerful from their self-made thrones, and casting them down, he will reach and lift up the little and the lowly and the nobodies of every generation, and they will stand with me astride history as a sign to all to be accepted or rejected as they will. Here's how God would in the human experience. Just as surely as if you looked at my mother in her wheelchair here, you would have been moved and touched by that dimension of her. Gentle lady, beautiful, gracefully aging woman. As appropriate as that would be, there would be another dimension yet to be acknowledged. That woman in her robust years, challenging and prodding and pushing her children to get on with it, to give her reason to be proud of their courage and the boldness of their deeds. So it is with Mary, our mother. Let not go of any of your tender visions of her. Embrace them as surely as a loving son is entitled, even in his middle years, to lay his head on his mother's breast, to be hugged and kissed. You have a right to that dimension of Mary. Hold it close in your heart, but do not exclude this other dimension. Allow her, if you will. And if it's a whole new experience of her, then give thanks to God who makes it possible. Allow Mary to upset you, to poke and prod you as good parents do, willing to push their children from the nest that they may go on to do good things. Let Mary prod and push you now from that comfortable old vision you may have had of her and see her in this new light. This week will always be a very special one for me. I repeat the words I say in this day's bulletin. God bless you. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for the solidarity you gave me in the last 10 years in affirming and helping the people of Haiti in their struggle and pain for justice and democracy. This week should be a time of great rejoicing for us all, for though, like all good things, it may not last, they have a moment of glory in the sun. For the people of Haiti, with an unbelievable unity of voice, rising up from the depths of the beings of the poor, have named a priest, prophet, lover, and champion of the poor to be president of their country. Do not fail to note that because he dared to involve himself in the realities of the pain and hurt of the poor whom God prefers, the institutional church, in its predictable way, had already stripped him of permission to function as a public priest. And I'd love to be wrong about this, but I feel it's a fairly safe prophecy. The Pope will not bless Father Aristide to be priest and president at the same time. But then, so what? After all, if by God's will and God's grace, and we all know, if God should so choose, he's free to do so, were he to send Mary back today to play yet another role in salvation history for the people of our time, the proper church would politely decline her offer and tell Mary, Mother of Jesus, sorry, dear, you can't go to the altar because you're a woman. I do believe that God calls the people of the church to themselves constantly try to purify the church itself, to recognize that in every sense we are human in our organizing, in our structuring, in our fashioning of things. We always bring our fears and our human limitations, but always there is a spirit willing and waiting to overshadow us, and yes, even to enter into the depth of our being and make Jesus be in a whole new way for a whole new world. And to say amen at this moment in history, as Mary said it then, to say that amen may mean, in fact, to have to say no to all sorts of conventions and customs, ways we would call tried and true, to set us, as Mary was, at odds with the very culture in which she was growing. If Isaiah made you uncomfortable in these weeks just past with his dramatic call for leveling mountains and filling up valleys, if John the Baptist gave you a good healthy scare, making you realize a little more what it costs to be a Christian, maybe even to your total undoing, they fade, as it were, in the face of what Mary says and what Mary calls for in the heart of every Christian. You, she's saying, say amen to God. Ask all your legitimate questions. Let your doubts be expressed even to God himself. And be willing. Be willing that when God or his representatives explain, that there may still be some unanswered questions left, but you've done your best. And because you trust in God, you will not hesitate to go forward. Say amen, as Mary does, to being a priestly prophet presence in a world that, in spite of all that has already happened, is still hungry and hurting for a Jesus it can touch, a Christ that it can feel, a Savior that it can embrace, to make sense out of all the nonsense of human machinations and powerful systems that count money as much more important than people and innocent babies. I put to you that if you would have Christmas come this year, not a simple repeated convention, not just a sentimental reliving of old memories and a redoing of tender customs, if you would have Christmas come, if you would have Christ come at this sacred but frightening moment in history, you, each of us, have got to try to pronounce an amen that is new and fresh and frightening, an amen that has all the tenderness of Mary, but all the courage, the boldness, and the daring that were part of that amen she spoke in the presence of the angel. God, as he did with her. It's so hard to believe. It's almost impossible to comprehend. God, in his heaven, is waiting for your here and now amen. The church prays that you will add to the voice of the church an even greater strength, all sorts of new possibilities, that your amen at this moment, by God's grace, will be a true echo of Mary's, that from the depth of your being, you will say this day, my being proclaims the greatness of my God. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.